you guys done a lot of podcasts?
No.
No.
None together.
None together?
This will be our first one together.
Your first one together, but you have done them.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy them?
Yeah.
What do you
like them with nice people. I don't like them with assholes.
What do you...
Now, what are you planning on being tonight?
Well, I am going to challenge you in different ways, okay, in ways you've never expected
it's okay
before.
It's okay.
Because you are on Anna Faris's Unqualified.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Who's on Anna Faris? You want to introduce the guests? Oh.
Yes, this is Caitlin, and this is Scott.
Oh, hi.
And Sim.
Oh, thank you for introducing me.
Actually, can we do a little go around?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Anna Faris. I'm your host tonight, or this morning, maybe if you're commuting, or this afternoon, maybe you're working out. Or, I don't know, maybe you're at a bar and you're alone and you're waiting for your Tinder date, which, you know, if you have headphones on, might signal that, you know, the person who's looking for you could be turned off. Okay, that's all. Caitlin?
Oh, hi. I'm Caitlin Olson, and I don't really, I don't care what time of day, you know, you're listening to it. I'm just happy you're here.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm Scott MacArthur, and if you are listening to this waiting for your Tinder date, go home.
Just go home.
Why?
It's not going to work
Why?
Out.
It's not. It's just not
all
a good
a big
look.
Disappointment. Yeah.
We were talking about it earlier. The best way to attract someone at a bar is to be at a bar reading a book.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
But no.
Oh, no?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be bothering someone if you're...
I've read books at bars and no one's ever come up to me, but maybe that's me.
Oh, no.
Maybe I give
no,
up.
Justify
like...
that, Scott.
Well, I mean, we could deep dive that and figure out what book...
You would be brave enough to go up to a girl who's reading a book.
Alone? Yeah.
Literally.
Like, what would you say?
What are
you're
you
interrupting her chapter.
Ooh.
Just go right up. What are you reading?
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that bother you, Anna, if that happened?
What?
I'm reading...
With that voice? Say it again.
What are you reading?
Are you kidding me? Drop everything.
I'm reading... what am I reading? I'm reading Adam Bede.
I don't know.
Now he's at a loss. Now he's at a loss. You've stumped him.
Yeah, now I'd have to say, who's Adam Bede? What did he write?
Now you're dumb. Now you feel bad. You're insecure.
Now I feel bad. I'd probably say, I'm going to use the bathroom. And then I...
Okay, so what if it's like slightly something that's a little more accessible? Like, what if it's like God is not great?
Yeah.
Christopher Hitchens.
That'd give you a chance. I should preface this. I've never finished a book that I've started reading, so I'm not like a reader. That's not the gig.
So what would be the book? Maybe a magazine. Maybe you got to go with a magazine girl.
Mm. Well, now the new thing, I do firmly believe this, which is if you are at a bar by yourself, the thing that kills me is now when people are at a bar by themselves, they're on their phone a lot, right?
Right.
And I like the throwback idea that, like, you can go to a bar and have a drink, and that's what you're doing. Your face is up, you're interacting, you're, you know, like, that kind of feels like the right thing.
I totally agree with you, but I've also never, there's only been one time I approached a guy at a bar, and do you know what I said? This is when I was going through a kind of, like, a crazy breakup period, so I was like, just fuck it. I'm just letting loose. I said,
like, my underwear is sweaty.
Yeah.
Because I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
No. Oh. I was like, I was in much more of like, I've worn these clothes for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
I've got mustard in my fridge and a 6-pack, and that's all I'm doing.
Oh.
And I said, I thought, this is how amused I was with myself. I went up to this guy, and he had a couple friends around him, and I said, hey, do you have any roofies? And I laughed.
What'd he do?
Oh, he just looked at me like I was a fucking freak. And I said, do you want to go out sometime? Like, I had no fear. I was
good
in this weird period of fearlessness.
Well, we call that period nothing to lose.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's where I was. And it was euphoric and depressing all at the same time. But, he said, no. And I said, well, what about your friend? And like, they just looked at me like I was an alien. And then I felt bad. Then I was like, oh, my jokes aren't, this isn't Leah. I can't ask anybody
else. They did not know who you were.
No.
I would never have done that to you.
Thanks, Caitlin.
Yeah. I would have roofied you right there on the spot.
Does it make them better if they recognize me and then they agree? Like, it's sort of like.
The whole thing, honestly, if I'm being honest, is making me very uncomfortable.
Have you ever gone up to, have you ever like
no.
aggressively, you know?
No.
You've never aggressively hit on a guy?
Mm-mm. Way too insecure. No. I'd rather just go home.
College days?
No. Oh, wait, hold on. Okay. Well, I went to college at the University of Oregon, and I lived in the University Inn, which was like the special dorm where you had a bathroom in your own room. Ooh. So you don't have to share a bathroom with the floor. It was really fancy.
Like, is it like the quiet dorm though too?
No. Like, no. Lots of barfing everywhere. But you had a bathroom in your room, and that's the reason you paid extra. But I was not a sorority type of person. That wasn't my thing. But we became friends. Right across the street was the Beta House, and we became friends with all those guys. And they were great, and we always went to their parties, but we were very unwelcome because all the fraternities have parties with sororities, and all the sorority girls hated us because we would join the parties. So we were very hated by them, and we would go and crash the parties, and I was so in love with this guy for like 2-3 years.
Can you give us a first name?
I'll be honest with you. I don't even remember his
Change
name.
Change it.
That's how in love I was. I don't even remember his name. Mike?
Brett? Well, I thought you were talking about Daniel.
No, that's a different guy.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. No. This guy was so cute.
Chad.
Chad. I loved him so much. Chad. Oh, my God.
Chad is a beta.
Mm-hmm. He's a beta at the University of Oregon.
He's a brunette.
Mm. Definitely
stoner.
Brunette. Very tall. It was like 6'2".
Everyone there is stoners, right?
Oh, yeah. Super drunk. And we, you know.
But funny.
Oh, of course he was funny. Why would I like him if he wasn't funny? We were on the top floor. All the mattresses were against the windows trying to block out the sound so we wouldn't get in trouble. Very hot in there. Everyone's sweating. We're playing pool and I get the nerve and I'm going to go talk to him. And I don't remember what I was saying because I was super drunk. But I started talking to him. I just remember him looking at me and going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Your upper lip is sweating. Like, sweat off my lip. I was like, and then I died, and then I died again, and then I went home, and I've never hit on anyone ever since.
Oh, yeah. Your upper lip is sweating.
Your upper lip is
That's
sweating.
That's like one of those things that, you know how when you're tipsy, like that snaps you out of, that's like, oh, yeah, maybe I'm sober again.
Yeah, he stared at me for so long, I thought he was very interested in what I was saying, but he was really just focused on my upper lip perspiration.
I wonder if it was like power play on his
name. I don't know, but you know what? F you, guy. Yeah. If I could remember your name, I would call you out.
Hey, before when you guys first got here, we were outside, and we were talking about if erect men can pee.
Oh yeah,
and
they can pee. It's just they need to maneuver themselves differently.
Maneuver how? Like you gotta like you manipulate.
And does
your
it
wiener?
Hurt to like bend it down fully to a toilet?
I'm not very flexible, so it hurts me. But Scotty,
well, you have
no,
a huge
I mean not
cock.
Your body.
Yes, that is
I
true,
mean your,
Scotty.
I mean your actual
you.
Organ. Does it hurt to bend it that down that
it
at that
can't.
Angle?
You've moved an erect penis around, right?
Well, yeah, but like
it can't
that
hurt.
Far. I'm just wondering if like that far down.
Yeah, I mean, basically, when you're in the shower and you're trying to readjust the shower head,
yeah.
you have limited options there, or you turn the dial on the faucet and you switch to the hose.
Okay.
So we don't have
What's
that dial.
What's the point of doing this?
Well, we don't have the dial.
Oh.
So basically you do what is commonly known amongst men is the K-kick.
Okay.
Which is you bend at the waist, you drop your left leg back to get leverage, and then you basically bank shot it off the back of the toilet seat. And then you just pee into the toilet. It's a common move. We don't talk
it's
about it. And I'm
complex.
Probably going to get
in
trouble.
No, I love it that you're giving us the guy secret codes here. Mm-hmm. We'll give you some lady codes later. Yeah.
The bank shot is a pro move, though, I want to add.
It is. It's
it's advanced.
It's learned.
Yes.
It's learned. And
who teaches this to you?
Well, in Greece.
What?
They taught, you know, back 2,000 years ago, they would take on a young male lover and they would teach the K-kick frequently.
The K-kick.
But now you can learn it on Google.
Oh.
Or YouTube.
YouTube videos.
And I don't want to tip the hat here, but Sim and I have been talking about doing a podcast called The K-kick about this kind of thing.
Would you guys, if a penis could be retractable, like
a turtle head?
Mm-hmm. No. Like, could literally, like, suck back up into your body along with your balls. So when it's not in use, you could be sort of protected. Because it is, like,
for sports, it could help.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering. Because sometimes when I'm cuddling with Chris or he's cuddling with me, this involves arms. I wish that I could have a retractable arm. Like,
yes.
You mean when you're laying down? Because the underneath arm needs to go away. Right. I know.
No idea
about
what to ever do with the underneath arm.
Yeah. Right. No, I get it.
So I'm just wondering now. Would men like a retractable penis?
I've never had the experience of not knowing what to do with my penis, like the arm. Right. But
you know what I mean? I'm just saying in daily life, it could be convenient.
Yeah.
Because then you're not vulnerable in any way, you know? Like, your balls are your Achilles heel. That is the one place where we know we could get you if we needed to.
Well, if you look at the history of the human body.
God.
Okay.
Love this.
So, Scott. Basically, we started on all fours, right?
Oh, my God. This is going to take 6 hours, by the way. Everybody buckle up.
Oh, I should say tonight's long-winded answers are brought to you by Black Tea and Corona. But I don't know. We could bleep that if we can't. But we started on all fours. So if you look at the body, you have the rib cage, the back rib cage, the skull. Everything is really protected anatomically. Then what happened was we started standing up on our hind legs to see what was coming over the horizon.
I think this is stuff that most people know.
Yeah. And then as we stand up,
we have very smart listeners.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, this is, I know, at this point, someone's going through the podcast again. But all of a sudden, we exposed our gut, which is not protected, but we made that trade off so that we could see the horizon to see the predator coming. And sure. Coincidentally, at the same time, we exposed our
wiener dog.
Uh-huh. And our wiener dogs.
So you still didn't answer my question. Do you want a retractable
penis? Do you want your wiener to go back into your stomach or not?
Yeah. Given the option, would you like a retractable penis?
And you could
yes or no?
No.
You want it out at all times.
I'm very comfortable with how
I'm. What about retractable balls? Because I have friends who have huge balls and they need to lift them every time they sit.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
Anecdotally, in the locker room, when someone's in a locker room and they get traded and they're like, well, the Dodgers are going to miss this guy next year. He's a big locker room guy. What that means is that that guy can do tricks with his dick in the shower and everyone loves them. I was a locker room guy up through college.
Wait, you do dick tricks?
I have, yeah.
Can you tell me some of your?
Yeah, I wish these guys
could see your dick tricks and you could pull it out and
they're amazing.
Show
they've crushed it.
Do you have names
Fox.
For them?
Well, I have the balls in the stomach, which is you can retract your balls up into your stomach. And then the wristwatch and the squash mosquito. There's moves.
I know the wristwatch. Yeah. I've had a friend do that. Well, he calls it the Rolex. So I'm sure it's similar.
Well, he has a huge penis. I mean, you know. I call mine
wrist.
The swatch.
Oh, God.
The swatch.
Nice. The swatch.
It's like a lower level.
Yeah.
Or it's aren't swatches really thin?
Thin, yeah. Thin and...
Yeah. Stretchy. Just,
yeah.
Like retract. Yeah.
Yeah.
Elasticy.
No one brags about having a swatch. So. And here I am bragging
Could
about having a swatch.
Could you imagine if like we did a bunch of labia like tricks?
No.
Like what do we? What could we possibly do?
Well, you could do the snail.
Oh. Well, I love that.
What's a snail?
The snail. Well, okay. Again, anatomically going back in time. if you had huge labia and you squatted to pee doing the tent pole move when you're holding the tree.
What? Right. Okay.
I should just preface this. I have a daughter, so I'm very comfortable talking anatomically. But
And does she squat and hold a tree?
Not yet.
Okay. You'll teach her. I get it.
She's three. We're getting there. She's still peeing in her bed, but, you know.
Okay.
Yes.
What does she do with her labia when she squats and holds a tree? Just in the future. No, let's make this about her. Tell us what this is, but let's make it about your daughter. So your daughter's three, but when she's older, she will squat and hold onto a tree. And what will she do with her labia?
The snail thing? Yeah.
I don't know.
So the snail is if you had giant labia, a la a Rolex penis, the labia would touch the ground and leave a small track as though two snails were racing.
I'm extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
As though two snails were racing, but it's a pretty close race.
It's a tie.
Yeah. It's
well, hopefully
it's going to have to be.
I mean, if one snail races ahead, then there's, you know. probably some corrective stuff you could figure out.
Hi, Stella. There. I'm so sorry. You're only going to hear this 9 years from now. And I want to tell you, I'm sorry. I did not advocate for this.
I know my mom. I love you, Mom. But listen, okay, we'll get back to more sex talk later, or what if that was even sex talk.
I don't even think it was. It was just horrible.
Science, I think. Science.
Straight up autonomy. Yeah.
But you guys are on a really fucking hysterical show called The Mick. It is so good.
Thanks. Thank
you. We just watched the first two episodes.
Did you really?
And it's absolutely hysterical. It's so the second episode, I was crying. Good. I love the first episode. The second one had me crying.
I have to tell you, I love the first one. The second one is my favorite.
I'm so excited to see more. And I say that, I know you, like, you've done a lot of promotional stuff and people are probably telling you that all day and it must be genuine, but there are, you guys know that there's instances where people tell you that and you're
don't
like,
believe them for a second,
but it's a really, really, really fucking funny show.
We like
and
it.
Thank you.
I'm really happy you guys are here. Thank you on this rainy Los Angeles night.
It's lovely.
Came up to my weird, creepy home.
You do have a super creepy.
You didn't even see the
lovely.
You haven't seen all the dead animals yet.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
I know.
It was a little red flaggy when we walked in, and there's not a single light on in the entire house.
No, it's very
house.
Guys, just for the viewers, it's extremely dark in here. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know who's in each room, which is very, very dark.
Mm-hmm. It is.
But I kind of love it.
It's good on a rainy night to creep out my podcast guests. But
you hooked me. I'm hooked.
but yeah, anyway, so thank you guys so much for being here. I know you guys are really busy and you're writing now, but then you're about to start shooting.
This guy is. So let me tell you something about this guy. I signed on to the show as a producer because I didn't really want to do it unless I was also producing it. And we were staffing our writer's room and his was the first sample that I read. And I was like, oh, this guy's hilarious. We staffed him. He became our writer. And then he just kind of was Jimmy. Like the more
That's
we talked
amazing.
To him, he's so funny. And like the more he would talk and tell stories about his childhood and his dad and his like growing up, he was so funny. John and Dave Chernin and I all were like, okay, this guy kind of just is Jimmy. We have to cast him as Jimmy. So he's both writer and Jimmy on my show.
Well, you're fantastic. And Jimmy sort of, the not boyfriend, who kind of wants to believe that you are
the boyfriend.
Yeah, no, he's comfortable being the boyfriend. It's just that Mickey doesn't
labels.
Yeah.
No labels.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Mickey's not a dependent.
Around, whatever.
She doesn't want to be a dependent, right?
Nah.
Yeah, I don't think he needs dependency.
Got to keep your options open, though, right? So you got to have this guy here, and then like, who knows what's over here?
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah. We've talked about the relationship a lot as a dog, where you know there's always that friend you have. My brother had a dog like this. The dog would bite children, people, anybody, and naturally the conversation is always like, "Why do you have this fucking dog?" But until you've had a dog like that, I had a dog like that in college, it's like, you're almost like, fuck off, man. I have the dog. It's my dog. Like, let me deal with my dog.
Right.
And that's very much the dynamic a little bit between Mickey and Jimmy.
Yeah.
He's my dog.
I love it.
Like D-O-G. Just like.
Yeah. O-G.
Yeah, O-G.
Mm-hmm. I watched the show and I had like waves of envy because I love playing crazy characters and you're so fucking good. I would be really mad if you weren't so good because I would be like, God damn it. But you are, you're Caitlin, you are like a national treasure. You're
Thank
so,
you.
And you know, I've been watching you for years on It's Always Sunny and you've always like stood out as just this unusual, like this fearless, hot, just dynamo in like a weird ringleader of that band of of guys and I've just admired you from afar for a long time, so I'm really glad you're here.
Thank you. I've admired you for the exact same reasons for a very long time, so thanks for having me.
Yeah.
There's a moment in the pilot because when you go in to meet as a writer, you generally you watch the pilot and then you go in and I met with the Chernin brothers and because Caitlin is a producer, then, you know, you would meet Caitlin. But I remember watching the pilot, and I firmly believe this having been, no one has taken more acting classes on planet Earth than I have. And I do believe the master class of comedy is in the pilot when Caitlin falls off the banister and then the next morning the kids wake her up. And there's like 15 separate moments in your wake up. And it's amazing to watch all of those happen in one take. You know, it's not, they don't cut away from it because that part was good. And then, oh, that part, let's cut to the kid. It's, and that was really exciting because I think when you're writing to see that, you're like, oh, I could write really bad shit and she'll make it funny, you know, but no, but you do see that and you're like, oh, this is amazing. Like that's a dream come true when you're watching a comedian do that. And you're just like, I mean, moments within moments within moments.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And you know what I loved? I loved two exchanges. I loved in the pilot, the first exchange in the car when you guys are pulling up because you have really quick banter. And I know as an actor, and also there's like your realization that you can't go into the party. And like there's a lot of quick changing beats happening there. And you guys are so good and so on top of it. And I know that that's not easy. That's a really specific talent and ability. I also really love the exchange between you and Alba, Caitlin, when you're getting, you're trying to get her to take Molly.
in the second episode where I'm like, oh, no, you don't have to take it. No, because you already took it.
Yeah, because you're just like, you're just so snappy and spontaneous and making, I don't know how much of it's like scripted or how much playroom you have, but you make it feel like it's all play.
That's great. I have to say that like, I can't take credit for that because I get, John and Dave have done such a good job of writing these amazing scripts where like I read it. That was actually one of her audition scenes. So I read that with a bunch of women who auditioned for Alba was that scene. And she just knocked it out of the park, and it was amazing. And I don't even think I can take credit. It was just so well written. But it's great.
Well, you guys have a great cast, too. Yeah, that's great.
That's Carla. And the crazy thing that I've come to understand about that scene is that the brothers wrote that scene for another project years ago. And I think it's with two dudes. And because the way the pilot was written, as most pilots are, it's, you can't write meaty scenes for every character that will recur.
Right.
So you either have to write new material just for the audition or you just find something that you can see
if
somebody has chops. And my understanding is that...
Yeah, that wasn't in the pilot. They just wrote that for her for the audition scene.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, when you see the audition tape, it's one of the funniest auditions I've ever seen. And so...
That's Carla Jimenez, by the way, and she's amazing.
Yeah. And so then when they saw that, they thought, okay, that scene now has to be in the show. And then this great opportunity.
Yeah, we wrote
opportunity.
Like a script around that.
Yeah. It was literally, that was a benchmark to get that scene into 102 because it was up top. You wanted to see her do that.
Well, yeah, it's a joy.
How many kids did you see before you cast the three kids? Because they're unbelievable.
A lot, yeah. No, well, that's like my main thing is that when this whole thing started, I was like, this script is amazing. It's so funny. I love reading it. I think I can make this character very special. I'm very scared about the kids.
Kids.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, kids suck. I've got two of them, so I can say that. So I was like, I've got to be able to be in the casting process. I have to be able to cast these kids so that I can know that I can have some chemistry with them. And so the first person we did was Sabrina, and there was no question. She was the only person that would have worked for that. Thomas Barbuska, who plays Chip, they wrote it for him, basically, because they loved him from Wet Hot American Summer and the Geico commercial. Jack we saw a ton of people, and this kid is like the sweetest person in the entire world. You can tell him to say anything, and anything that comes out of his mouth is like the sweetest. Yeah, he's adorable. Yeah, no, I'm really happy with all of them. Like, they're really, really wonderful people to work with.
And even when Sophia auditioned, I think she was out here. She was coming off of HBO's The Night Of, which I haven't watched yet, but is probably pretty dark and dramatic. And
she did such a wonderful job because she is a straight person. Like, she does, she doesn't do comedy. She does, like, dramatic stuff. And that's what we needed for this character. We needed somebody who was just not trying to be funny, very self-assured, very... She's a wonderful actress, and that's really what we needed for that, rather than just like a bitchy teenager, because that's going to get really old.
Yeah.
Okay. We do a few different segments on this show. We're going to do After I Cough.
Oh my God. Are you all right? Guys, she's dying. She might
Don't
be dead.
Worry.
Oh, no,
I'm back. It's okay. Just We're good. Mildly disgusting. I'm sorry, dear listeners. Okay. So this is called How Would You Proceed? Okay, the first one's for Caitlin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your manager who's here, Brady.
He's not my manager, but he's, you know, the same company. Whatever. He's fine. He's fine.
He's Scotty's manager.
You're fine.
He's my manager.
He's,
yeah,
and he's fine. One of my best friends
okay,
for
but whatever.
15 years.
He's, right? He's fine.
Of 15 years. Yeah, best friend.
I've known Brady forever, and he's a doll. He doesn't have a microphone, but he's awesome.
Brady,
you want to split my mic?
Brady.
We could do like that Bruce Springsteen thing where we sing into the
Brady,
same mic.
Brady, don't you dare.
No.
Brady, like how much... Okay, let's say that one of your clients won an Emmy. I know you don't have a microphone.
Well, you can share a mic with Scotty on this one.
Okay, but would your feelings be the tiniest bit hurt if it was like, you know, I want to use like pulling that, what director did this? Steven Soderbergh did that whole thing of like, I'll thank everybody privately, but I want to use this time to like talk about creative energy or whatever. Would you feel like the tiniest bit hurt if you weren't from a business, just, you know, personal business thing?
No,
you
weren't not thinking. At all.
No, come
always
on.
Thank me. No, no, I wouldn't.
Really?
No. But always
really?
Thank me. Always
I,
thank me.
I should say I just wanted to thank
I would be
for being here.
I would be a little bit.
I'd be a little bit hurt if they thanked other people and not me. But if they were using it for something else.
Okay.
Like if I was forgotten, it would be
right,
hurtful.
Right,
yes.
Right.
So yes,
like
you'd be hurt.
Publicist, lawyer.
They're gonna thank other people, Brady. So the answer is yes.
I want to thank everyone privately right now. I want to use this time to talk about the snail. So the snail, and then you went on a ramp. That would be
the longest labia.
Ugh.
It would get a lot of hits on YouTube.
That is some long labia. What?
Yeah, I
want
to go back
labia?
To the snail. Whose fucking labia, I'm sorry, is dragging on the ground like this? And by the way, also has like a slime that
it's
is left behind
Caitlin,
as some sort of track.
This
like,
is going to be in
take
the future.
A shower.
There's,
is
this
it?
Is, yes, this is what's going to happen. Boob jobs are done.
Okay.
Now we're getting into labia extension.
Is this and is a thing? Like this is something
this
that people
is,
want?
This is what's going to happen in 2033.
I'm out.
Just so we're clear, Tim Burton just turned off the podcast and immediately started writing a movie about the snail.
Like in the future, all Beverly Hills women will have the longest, like massive labia. And so sportswear will be designed.
Uh-huh.
So there'll be legs.
Okay.
And then there'll be like labia.
Okay.
Like, I don't know, labia leg, essentially. Mm-hmm. So you'll be walking around Rodeo Drive with, like, essentially two legs and two things, long things, flapping
right.
almost between your ankles.
Right. So
and
you're
women
saying,
will compete.
Right. You're saying that people are going to be exploring labia extensions.
Yes. They're
very soon.
They're going to have their labias injected.
Oh my God,
and there's going to be, like, a competition. Like, oh, did you get your labia?
I have to tell you, I'm going to have a very hard time getting behind this trend. But I'll do it because it's popular. And that's all I care about.
Yeah. And you'll get hits on YouTube.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm in. I'm 100% in.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Great.
Fearless.
Okay.
Fearless.
2035, April 17th.
You guys
17th.
Expect to see my labia feet long, and I will crawl around on the ground. There will be six, excrements.
Yeah.
just dragging on the ground.
Yeah. Well, just so we're clear, in 2035, they will not be called labia. They will be
poor
called
Brady.
They
will have you be not listened excrement? To this podcast before?
They will be called chaps.
Chaps.
Yeah. Brady right now is. I've never seen you quite like this, but he's
Scott's
a little bit
manager.
In
he's very nervous.
Brady's a proud manager. Look at him. He's a proud manager.
But you maybe didn't listen to the. Oh, you just don't like the word the
you're having a hard time with the word labia.
We have talked about in the past about how unsexy our organ names are.
Now, Anna, do you want to talk about your own labia? Should we talk about this?
Yeah, we could talk about my labia.
Okay.
I'm kind of okay labia.
Yeah, it's just kind of just like tucks right up in there, right?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say tucks.
Okay.
You know, but it's not bad labia.
Okay, yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's not bad labia.
Great.
Yeah.
Should we move on from this?
Well, we could. We'll return.
I think we should.
How would you proceed?
Oh, no. Next question?
Yeah. Okay.
Is this one for Caitlin or for Scott?
Oh, sorry. This is for Caitlin. Okay. So your agent tells you that Adam Levine wants to go on a hike with you to pitch you a few project ideas. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's looking to getting into producing.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a big fan of yours for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You agree. Mm-hmm. You know, you go up Runyon Canyon. While on the hike, you know, he starts talking a lot about his Shih Tzus and like
he's got tiny dogs.
That
tells me a lot. Does he have tiny dogs or big dogs?
He has tiny dogs. Okay. You know, and there's like three of them, and they're following.
Okay.
Whatever.
Okay.
But and you maybe ask him about some of his tattoos. Like you mm-hmm. like the talk really isn't getting around to his projects.
Sure.
Anyway, he says about halfway up, you guys are. You know, at this point, maybe you're panting. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I'm extremely athletic, so probably not. Go ahead. Okay. Go on. Go on.
He says, listen, I know you're on two TV shows. Mm-hmm. You know, you're busy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're probably making some pretty good money. This is a little out there, but I've got these connections. And just recently, this really great investment opportunity came my way.
We got some sort of multi-level marketing thing going on.
I got this email,
uh-huh.
and I don't want to say kind of how I got it, but the guy who reached out to me is not a U.S. citizen.
Oh,
but but he got this $50 million inheritance, and he wants to transfer the funds to me for investment purposes. You know, he said he thinks like, oh, Adam Levine, you know, because I as Adam, you know, I clearly like I make a lot of money.
Yeah, man.
But
yeah.
He wants to wire me the funds so he can safely get out of his country, you know. But all I have to do is give him 40%
right.
of the return, you know, 40% of the $50 million.
Yeah.
But up front, the rest is so then that's how it can get like transferred over, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just wondering if you wanted to contribute, you know, say mm-hmm. like $3 or $4 million. And I guarantee.
The great news is that this is when my helicopter lands and swoops me up and flies the fuck away. And I go, good luck, Adam, and tiny dogs.
That's how you would proceed.
Yeah, that's
you would just call.
Yeah, I just
have to get to the
I
top.
I blame it on something else.
You would just totally just blow him off.
I just leave at that point. I don't like to answer questions. I just like to get out. You know,
I do see you squirming in your chair. Right
I'm
now.
I'm very uncomfortable. Yeah, it looks like I have to pee, but I don't. I'm just super uncomfortable.
I saw this exact thing happen with the lead singer of Kings of Leon and Jennifer Lawrence. But
at Runyon,
yeah,
it at Runyon?
Yeah, yeah. I used to live next to Runyon, and I saw it. And that guy, I won't even recount it because it was verbatim what you just said.
Okay, question
Scott,
number two.
This one's for Scott.
Are you sure? Can I chime in if I have a great
You
answer?
Sure can.
Okay.
For about a month, you've been dating Karina.
Mm.
She's a beautiful architect.
Just for the note, my goddaughter's name is Karina.
Yeah. Should we change it?
Let's change it. Yeah. What do you want to name
Scott,
her?
Scott, relax. Just go with
Should
it.
Should it still be something with a K?
What about Kalina?
Kalina sounds good.
Kalina does not sound great.
Sounds like a housekeeper. Kalina?
It sounds like...
She's the cleaner. No, her name is Kalina.
Her name is Rachel.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Love her, Rachel.
Okay. All right. She's a beautiful architect mm-hmm. here in LA.
Mm-hmm.
You invite her over to watch E.T. because she told you that she had never seen it. At the end of the movie,
mm-hmm.
you look over at her and you notice that she's sobbing. She's crying. Like, she's crying.
I was hoping you'd say that. Yeah.
She's not sad, like, but she's crying.
She's weeping.
And she's a little vulnerable.
Gentle, sweet and gentle.
And you say, oh man, you know, this movie always gets me too. She turns to you and she says, no, when I was a kid, I took a river rafting trip with my family because my parents were getting divorced and wanted us to all bond. But it was a class 3 river.
Class 3 rapid.
And supposed to be the whole river was supposed to be just class 3. Like
nonstop.
Anyway, there was a big rainstorm. And the next morning, as we packed up our campsite, our guide said, it looks like we're going to have some class 5 rapids today. Anyway, as we were going down one of the rapids, I got thrown over the raft. Mm-hmm. When they did find me days later, I was covered in white chalk.
Lit.
They took me to the hospital and they had me tested, and my index finger started glowing red. Mm-hmm. So then NASIC actually came to my house. And things got really scary because the people at the hospital called NASA.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to LA and I became an architect. And eventually, you know, I learned that life isn't over after, you know, you've become ill and you've healed. I don't know. The rest is kind of a blur. I really liked the flying bicycles, though. But I don't know if I ever want to see this movie again.
Okay. First thing I would do is I would wipe the sweat off her upper lip.
Right. Would you say, oh, Kalina?
Then I would say, yeah, I got to Kalina your upper lip here. What's the question?
How do you proceed? What do you do with Rachel?
Oh, I'm down with that.
You just effer, right? You just go and effer, and then it's all done.
Like, you love her, and you get married, and
just for the night. You're okay for the night.
Sure.
How do you answer this honestly? Because I would be fine with that. I mean, you know, hey, everyone's got their baggage. Rachel's baggage is extraterrestrially weird. But
are you going to tell your friends like the next day like this?
Yeah. I've been texting my friends from my pocket as she's been talking. I'm like, I got one. Bingo. I mean, I think, you know.
Do you ask her about it?
I probably do the Tony Robbins thing. I step very close to her, mm-hmm. you know, and I like don't break eye contact.
Yeah.
And then I go, you know, I just say something like, keep going. And I see really what it's about. Because when I was listening to that situation, what I really think that was about is alienation.
Oh my God. You are so annoyingly deep.
Deep dive. You got to deep dive it.
You think that she was alienated as a child?
I think she couldn't identify with people in her family. truth be told, the class 3 rapid reined into a 5 is a real rapid. I have a cousin. I mean, you spun this into my wheelhouse. I have a cousin is a rafting instructor. You could get nice launched.
Job. Anna, you've made a mistake.
You could, again, long-winded stories are brought to you tonight by Black Tea and Corona. But I think she's alienated, and I can identify with that. I am the only male in my family under 6 feet. And I understand.
Oh my God, he's so. You guys, when you picture him, I want you to picture him so tiny.
He's the littlest.
Super tiny.
He's so tiny.
It's so hard for him to reach the mic.
Yeah, at which point, I should remind everyone that I play Ben, the little boy, on the mic. So I think that might be confusing because we were talking about Jimmy. But I play
I love
the little boy.
How you can make your voice like I that, know. That high.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so Ray, so you're cool with
I'm in with that. That's, you know.
Are later, if you dated her for, like, let's say another 6-7 months, would you bring it up again? Like, would you say, like, so does white chalk, like, freak you out ever?
Or? Would I bring it up again? Immediately upon meeting everyone ever as a couple, I'd be like, this is my girlfriend, Rachel. Tell him the ETA. Just tell him.
Okay, well, It's kind of long. Are you sure, honey?
Hey.
Okay.
We got time.
Yeah.
All kinds of time.
Rafting on the Snake River with my family, which is up in the Northwest, Pacific Northwest.
Oh, I'm from there. I can jump in.
And
you're a Hood Caitlin, River person, though.
Yeah. Do you mind, like, not?
Oh, sorry. I'll step back. Your turn.
So anyway, I was rafting with my family, and I got thrown off the raft, and they couldn't find me for a few days. There was, like, helicopters and rangers and everything, like, dogs and everything searching. When they did finally find me, I was comatose, and I was covered in this white chalk. And anyway, they took me to the hospital. They found out my finger glowed. And the doctors called NASA, and for a while we had tubes, like, leading from our house to some trailers, and it was weird, you know, but then I was fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I would just turn and I'd be like, yeah, right, guys? Shots?
I actually think she might be kind of fun.
Yeah, that's fun. My point. My point is sort of fun.
She's crazy. Entertaining.
Yeah. She's entertaining. Yeah. This is fun.
You gotta keep her around.
Story. Yeah. Stories.
Now, do you marry that girl?
No. You keep her around for as long as you possibly
can. But, you know, it's fun. And
I get it.
Just buckle up.
I really would like to meet her. I mean, just for a minute.
Do you want us to introduce you to her? We can bring her. We have her.
We have her.
Rachel, could you come in here for a second? Rachel, there's an element of a creep factor in Rachel. Do you like a creep factor in anything, like a relationship?
Oh, yeah.
Or?
I think yes. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, do I want to think that I'm, like, in bed with somebody who might kill me? Well,
no.
Maybe a little. Just, like, 10% of me. But I like a funny, weird story for sure.
Yeah.
I like somebody who's got, like, weird. I mean,
you
want
to feel like you're in danger, but not going to actually get killed.
Yeah, I want to. Well, I like a person who I really, because I'm curious. Which is difficult for somebody who likes to talk so much. But I like to dig in on, like, a weirdness. Mm-hmm. So I would probably, if I were your friend and meeting Rachel, I would probably be like, whoa.
Let's have her come over.
I'm gonna pull you aside for a little while. Mm-hmm. I hope you don't mind, Scott. I'm gonna steal Rachel for just a little while you and your buddies do shots. But could you actually get her a few shots? I need to talk to her about this red finger business.
There's an element of it where, you know that Sarah McLachlan song, Building a Mystery?
Sure.
Right? So I remember as a kid, I loved that song. It was a big
great
Sarah
song.
McLachlan. Yeah, that was my jam. One of my jams. No, not,
I love the image of you in a locker room, like... Anyway,
Sarah McLachlan song.
Yeah, and we've talked about this actually a lot on set, but that is locker room talk. Guys go to locker rooms and talk about Sarah McLachlan. This whole crazy is not the, yeah.
Yes.
But building a mystery, when I was a kid, I was like, yeah, build a mystery. I would think like, oh, write a mystery story. I think the key to a lot of the beginning of relationships is building a mystery. And I think that's what Rachel's doing.
You think I'm one thing. Surprise.
Exactly.
I did that with Chris.
Yeah, it's smart.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he thought I was somewhat sane.
Oh, yeah.
He thought I really loved football,
mm-hmm.
which I'm now really enjoying. But he thought that I, you know, would be, like, join him on hunting trips. Like, I really kind of did a run around on him a little.
Well, that's actually different. That's called hiding the crazy. That's a very different tactic.
Right? Well, building the mystery.
I thought I was building a mystery.
And hiding the crazy are two different things.
I think so.
You guys, it's very messy. Both kind of work together in a way.
Brady just pulled up building a mystery on his phone.
Hey, Brady, why don't you go sit in the car?
All right, so we're going to play a quick game, by the way, in honor of the Mick, which has a parenting theme,
mm-hmm.
And all three of you are parents.
Yeah.
And
Am I playing this game?
Yes, you're playing this game, too.
Oh, yeah, you're in
by the way,
worst.
By the way, Anna has never won a game.
Okay, me neither.
Ever.
Really?
No, I'm talking on the podcast.
I'm not a winner.
We've done a bunch of games. She's never
won. Doesn't matter. I'm not a winner, ever.
So this game, I'm going to test your knowledge of obscure parenting trivia.
Okay.
And this is Price is Right rules, so you know how that works, right? Mm-hmm. Closest without going over. And we're gonna start with Scotty. Mm. Scotty?
Mm. I don't know.
What is the average time it takes a mom to change a diaper? I need minutes and seconds.
Poop or pee?
Good question. Great question.
Let's go with poop.
a little boy or a little girl?
Let's go with a little boy.
Oh, one-handed, 35 seconds.
Okay. Caitlin?
50 seconds.
50. Mm-hmm. Anna?
I guess, can I say it? I don't know Price is Right. What can I say?
Don't go over.
Yeah, you just
do
unless you want. Yeah, unless 40, you want to go over.
46 seconds.
Great.
I mean, this, as you know, Caitlin, and
so stupid,
but
so stupid.
Well, because it's
is there a blowout? Is there not a blowout? Is a solid poop?
Like,
is there
actually,
not?
Like, getting is there the diaper rash? Out of the
yeah, like come on.
Thing? Are we talking wipes?
The answer is 2 minutes and 5 seconds.
Oh, you son
so
of a bee!
Caitlin
son
gets
of
the
bee.
Point on that one.
Well, you got it
okay,
though.
All right.
Well, these guys you have older boys.
Oh, come on, get out of here.
My boy is 1 year
old.
Stop
it! Get out of here.
Next question. What is the Guinness record for most babies by one mother? So we're going to start with Caitlin. We're going to go with you this time.
10.
Most babies by one mother?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with 26.
26?
Oh,
Scotty.
Wow.
How many babies? One mother.
I'm going to go low, Bob. One.
One. The answer is 69.
Oh, what the fuck?
16 pairs of twins, 7 sets of triplets,
so
and 4
stupid.
Sets of quadruplets.
That's where we get the labia.
I mean, that
is some low labia.
If your labia is dragging on the ground next to your feet, it's because you've had 655 children. Is that what you said?
That's right, 69. Theodore Vasilyev she was 1707 to 1782. She was a peasant from Shuya, Russia.
So upset for her. What were you going to ask about my labia? It's beautifully intact.
No. Yeah. I was going to say, Caitlin, haven't you ever seen that Duggar? Like, do
yes.
That? But, well, they have like 18 and counting.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, come on, huh?
But I just don't. I don't want to picture her labia. Labia to
surprise that your answer was
inside.
10.
I just didn't think it was that. I
oh, Caitlin.
Wait. God, I'm so sorry. I'm disappointed in myself. Anna, I let you down. I'm sorry. Wait, let me make it up to you. Go!
Anna, you're starting.
Did I win? I won that one.
You got that one, Anna. So right now, Caitlin has a point, and so does Anna.
Okay.
Third question, Anna, you're starting. How old was the oldest woman to ever give birth?
Oh, God.
Ugh. Ugh, old lady is having babies. Disgusting, right?
I'm going to go with my lucky number 69.
69 for Anna. Scotty?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
All right, let me go back here. So when we were quadrupedal on all fours,
he is driving me crazy.
Protected, I'm going to say Lily's in the field, 59.
65.
And 65 for Caitlin. The answer is 70. Anna gets it right. 70. It all was 70-year-old Rajo Devi in India.
Okay, just real quick.
Rajo,
70
push.
Years older.
Push.
God, I want to.
Push,
guys,
Rajo.
If I could have an up close and personal look at her labia, I would be so happy.
Rajo.
The kid just comes out coughing dust.
Oh, my God.
Too much?
Yes.
Anna, you're winning.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe you're winning. We have two more
left. Right. All right, give me another chance.
All right, so wait, it's 2-1-0.
It is 2-1-0.
Yeah, you're losing.
So if Anna gets one more, then she wins.
Then she wins, exactly. So we're going to start with Scotty on this one.
All right,
and here's the question.
Fine.
How much did the heaviest newborn weigh? Give me pounds and ounces.
28 pounds and 12 ounces.
Oh, my God.
Caitlin.
I mean, you know what? You're backing me into a corner. You know, you're making me feel like it's like an extreme thing. If I'm going for realism. What'd you say?
He said 28-12.
25-4.
Hold on. Can I just call time out here? Just time out here. What? We have to work as a team. So
okay. So you, should we pick either, the same one?
Yeah, yeah. We have to basically bookmark.
There's some strategy in play exactly. here.
Okay. So what do you want me to do here?
Go high.
Okay. What did you say?
I said 28-12. Okay. Go like
29. 40. No, 30.2.
30.2 for Caitlin.
Yes, 30.2.
And Anna, what's your answer?
You bitch. You're going to win this, aren't you?
You are. Go one.
What was it, 28 you said?
28-12. You guys are...
28-12 and 32 for Caitlin. Anna?
I guess I got to go with 28-11, right? That's the strategy. That
clearly, you've never watched Price is Right.
Wrong.
The answer is 23-12, so no one gets it.
No, wait, I thought...
No, because you
no
went over.
No one gets it.
You idiot.
Oh, so there's a chance for Caitlin to tie right now.
Yeah, that's what we want.
Okay, what
we want?
Yeah. Well, because we want to keep this record going that you never win.
Oh, yeah,
what are you going to do the next interview? You're going to say, I only won once, and that's not... That doesn't have the gravity.
Everybody shut up so I can get my question.
Concentrate. Here we go. What is the longest a woman has been in labor? Days. How many days? Let's start with
Are we counting Mother Earth?
Scott, just take a deep breath and shut your fucking mouth.
Okay, yeah, I'm right here. I can hear you.
Anna.
I'm going to go with 6 days, 11 hours.
You don't have to give me hours.
Oh, I'm going to go with 6 days.
6 days. Strategy.
Yeah, that's where I'm going. I'm also going that her name was Bettina Thompson, and she was in labor for 7.5 days.
You're driving me crazy. I just want to go 5, and he'll go 7.
Scotty, and you're going to go?
5.
5.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Time out.
Uh-oh.
Don't go five, because that would be a draw.
So what?
I think you...
What do I do, 8?
What did I say, 7?
You said 7.5.
You go 1.
One day. Okay.
So you cover the low.
So listen, here's the thing. I'm trusting him, and this is the last time I will ever trust him. And if this doesn't work out, we're done. And
we're
he's
done.
Fired from my
I'm
show.
Off. I'm off the
but
show.
But understand this. He is one of my writers, and
everything's riding on it.
Everything is riding on this. If this doesn't work out, he's effing done, guys.
You don't have to go with... You can go. You can
no,
say
no,
whatever.
No. I want this because I'm trying to find an excuse to get rid
okay.
of him.
Okay.
Yeah.
One day.
This poor woman had to be in labor for however many
days. By the
days,
way, I was in
and
labor
also
for 2.5 days, and it was the worst.
To blame for Scott getting fired.
Yeah, for ruining my TV show. So I'm going 1. And
I'm sure she's
going to
be...
You're the worst.
Well, the answer is 75.
75 days?
Yep.
What are you,
Joanna Kristonik of... Wrocław, Poland was
that's
pregnant
not real
with
labor,
triplets.
You idiot. No.
75
that's
days.
Pregnancy.
That's not. That's,
oh, wait.
That's,
so we're still off.
That's Braxton
labor.
Hicks.
So it looks like that answer.
Romania.
Come on, Romania.
Scotty, you get that one right.
To win.
That means it's a. Wait, what's the score? Is that a three way tie?
No, I think it's 2-1-1.
I don't think
it's 2-1-1. Anna wins.
Are you serious?
You should have gone. You should not have taken his advice. You should have gone above
Sherlock.
Yeah, there we go. You should have gone. You should have taken the one.
And I'm out.
So Anna, your first ever victory.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Congratulations,
really
my friend.
Good.
Tough way to lose a job.
No. You're done.
Do you want to take a 5-minute break?
I sure do. But I do want to say that Caitlin just said something that we have to all say more, which is no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah.
It's so good.
That is good.
It is so good.
Yeah, because of Sherlock Holmes, guys.
Well, yeah. But it's so fun to say, right?
Yeah, right.
No shit, Sherlock.
Yeah,
well, let's all
not?
Say it really
no
quickly.
No shit, Sherlock. Why not?
No shit, Sherlock. It's fun to say.
How about everyone
Thanks,
in the room
Caitlin.
Together?
Yeah. One, two.
Come on, Brady.
Three.
No shit, Sherlock.
That was great.
Isn't it satisfying?
Yeah.
Caitlin, thank you.
You're welcome.
I better break.
Fuck you. So on this show, we call strangers.
Oh.
And we attempt to give them advice.
Oh, great.
And we try to, like, really hear them. So
we have to hear them?
We have to hear them.
Ugh.
But they're lovely people.
Okay.
So we're going to do two calls.
I've never talked to them. Sim
I like
has.
People.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about these people, by the way.
Okay.
Sim preps them, but I don't know what's happening until right now.
We're calling Kate right now, and she's 31.
Okay.
She's in D.C.
Okay. She's up late.
Yeah,
no,
she is up late.
It's sweet. It was sweet of her to stay up late for us. Oh.
Hello?
Hey, Kate. It's Sim.
What?
How are you?
Sim, you sound
hey,
really
how are
loud.
You?
I'm sorry. I was a little loud. Anna is here, and Anna's going to introduce our guest to you.
Okay. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Kate. Thank you so much for staying up so late, and I'm sorry that Sim's voice was so weird.
Yeah,
sorry,
he's really sorry. Loud.
Sorry.
It's abrasive.
But, Kate, you are here with Scott MacArthur and Caitlin Olson from The Mick, which is a new show on Fox, and it's really hysterical. And you might know Caitlin from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. She's very, very funny. And anyway, we're here, and thank you so much once again for staying up so late.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you all for letting me be here. But
of course, Kate, we're going to try and help you. You wrote to us saying, and I'm quoting this, "I was the last fling before the ring." So tell us the story first, and then we'll try and help you.
Okay, so I've had this friend for a few years, and we've always been pretty close. And it's been platonic most of the time. Like, sometimes we get flirty, but it's, like, you know, just, like, compliments and stuff. But anyways, a few months ago, we kind of, the flirtations kind of crossed the line, and we hooked up, and he's had this long-term girlfriend. We all have mutual friends, so we were like, this isn't a good idea. So we stopped, and a few weeks later, like, he kind of started hitting me up again, kind of more than flirty. And of course it happened a couple more times. And once again, we decided, like, this isn't a good look. It's like, I'm too old for this kind of nonsense. So let's just go on being friends. And, like, he never made promises to, like, break up with his girlfriend or anything, but he ended up proposing to her about less than a month after we stopped. And I don't know, I just feel kind of used in that situation, that I was used in some way to validate how he felt about his girlfriend, or I was one last itch that needed to be scratched, you know? But that's kind of where I am now.
Well, you want to know if you still should remain friends with him, and you also are unsure if you should tell him how you really feel. I know Anna has a lot to say right now.
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, you clearly like him, right? Like, it's more than a friendship, and heterosexual mm-hmm. friendships are incredibly difficult, and usually 90% of the time have a lot of complicated layers in them. So, no, you should not be friends with him anymore.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, but the problem is, I really believe that this is all going to come out at some point. That's been my experience with myself and my friends, especially if you have a tight circle of friends, people are going to talk, and this is going to come out, and it's going to be really ugly. And I'm scared that you are going to be painted as the villain and exiled from your circle of friends. Now you guys are in a big circle of friends all together.
Yeah. You kind of nailed it. I mean, it's been hard because I know, like, ever since we had our last talk anyways, like, before he even got engaged, like, I kind of started pulling away a little bit, just being vague or just kind of not going out of my way to be in that. And, of course, he noticed. So he would, like, you know, he's been sending me, like, little messages almost every day. And then finally, like, he asked me if I was mad at him. And I was like, well, I don't really know. Like, because I know we
girl.
Didn't make promises to each other. I didn't. But so he told me I can't be mad at him.
And this has all happened post proposal too?
Yeah, nothing has happened between us besides just, like, talking to each other after he proposed.
Now, when you guys hooked up, was the conversation afterwards, like, basically, like, oh, we shouldn't have done that, that was a mistake? Conversations?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that, first of all, I mean, you guys are both letting each other off the hook with that kind of conversation. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? Because
yeah.
hookups are never accidental. That would be really
mm-hmm.
difficult, actually, to just sort of
yeah.
fall
yeah.
on.
Yeah, we apparently made a mutual mistake three times, but whatever.
Right.
That was his phrase, not mine.
Right. Yeah, that is, it's definitely letting all parties off the hook, especially if, you know, if you guys had been drinking and it's like, oh, you know, we were drunk. And but I think that I think this is a really, really dangerous situation. And I honestly think that, you know, if he does get married, he will probably stray pretty quickly with somebody else. And to me, he sounds like kind of a lame dude. I don't envy the girl who's engaged to him.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
Let me ask you this, though, too. Do any of your friends in the circle know that you know of? Like, have you told anybody?
I haven't directly told anybody. There was somebody that, like, might have picked up on it, but I kind of quenched that. And then, as far as I know, he hasn't said anything.
Okay, as far as you know, he hasn't said anything. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I see. Here's the problem, though. I think that it really is only a matter of time. And especially if you continue the friendship with him. And I'm just worried about your personal health, you know, like you're going to be kind of grieving with, you know, heartbreak and not feeling like, you know, you weren't the one that was like chosen by this lame ass fuck. Sorry. But
I have a question.
Yeah.
Kate,
this is Scott.
What do you want? Regardless of what his choice is, what do you want?
And that was part of my thing, is I didn't want to make a demand on him when I didn't know. Because it's like kind of one of those situations where it's like, I know him too well to want to date him. You know, like, I don't know if it would work. And so I didn't think it was fair to make that demand. But I don't really know. Like, and I think Anna nailed it earlier. It's like heterosexual relationships are really complicated. And, you know, there's always something, some layer there that's more than just friends.
Okay, well, I think that you can tell him, I'm not mad at you, but you're engaged. And while I think we can be friendly, I don't think it's appropriate for us to communicate privately anymore.
Hey, can I say something?
Sure, Caitlin.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Listen, in all circumstances, you can always go by what someone's doing over what they're saying. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
So you can prolong this and you're going to have a broken heart for longer, or you can just end it and let him go, because this person, he proposed to someone else.
Yeah.
So it hurts, but you should let it hurt now a lot, get over it, and move on. But like, this is not going to work out for you. You have to really pay attention to people's actions as opposed to what they're saying.
Yeah, because I don't see a world where he's like, he suddenly breaks up with his fiance and like, you know, delivers flowers up your fire escape.
Well, if he does deliver flowers up your fire escape, he's going to be doing this to someone else.
Exactly.
Like, you do not want this person. You want someone else who's like, I would never do this to you.
Kate, I dated I haven't dated all that many people, but this was the kind of person that I was really drawn to, was this exact type. And they're manipulative and seductive, and he clearly like wants your attention. He wants to keep open the possibility of hooking up with you again. You're going to grieve, like Caitlin said, sort of no matter what, with distancing yourself from him. But I'm also really worried about you losing your friends out of this.
Yeah.
And you, because I think that in this situation, because it sucks for women, usually they take more of the brunt of a cheating scenario. And I'm worried that you're going to, I don't want you to lose your friends and him. So,
So Anna, what should she say to this guy right now?
You made your choice. You just proposed to someone else.
Well, he'll tell me that he never, like, I wasn't never a choice. I wasn't necessarily on the table as being like,
why
he's
not
letting himself off the hook right now? That he feels like he has an out. But what should she say to him, knowing that he's probably going to continue to contact her, knowing that if things don't work out with this other girl, then she's always there. Or if she wants to, you know?
Right. But was the last text literally, "Are you mad at me?"
Yeah, he kind of said that, and I was like, "I don't really know." And he's like, "Well," and like, I was busy, and I was just kind of annoyed and not ready to have that conversation in the moment when he felt it was time to have it. And so I just felt like I didn't know, because I didn't want him to say exactly what he said, which is, "You can't be mad at me." It's like what Caitlin said. It's like actions and words are totally different.
Right. And so here's the thing, is that he has two things with you. One, he wants to keep you in his back pocket as drunk hookup. Two, you are also a loaded weapon in his life. You have a secret that he does not want revealed.
Right.
Kate, hang on for a second. We have a special guest coming in right now.
Hi, honey.
Hey, Jack.
Hi. He went to see Rogue One tonight, Kate. Can you believe it? He's 4. My husband took him to see Rogue One.
Look at his glasses. Oh, he's so cute.
Hi. Oh, thank you. Can you say hi to Caitlin and Scott and Brady?
Hi, guys.
Whoa. A beautiful ring.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Kate, I just got proposed to you. You got a really good present.
Did you?
Hey, Jack.
Yes.
Hey, Jack.
Thank you, honey.
Can I tell you something? I really like your glasses.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bye, Jack.
I love you.
Bye.
I love you. I'll see you soon. Oh, thank you for my present, honey. So you are two things in his life right now that are really complicated. So he wants to make sure that you're not going to tell this secret. And he also wants to leave open the possibility that you may hook up together drunkenly again, like right before his wedding day or whatever.
Hey, I think you should be really excited that you're not the fiance.
I do too.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're not engaged to someone who's going to cheat on you.
Yeah. But so anyway, the horrible practical advice that I would give you as a completely unqualified person is, I would text him, "I'm not mad at you." 'Cause here's the thing. You can't be overly dramatic. It has to be final. "I'm not mad at you, but I really don't think that we should communicate privately anymore. And I think that's it." Because the thing is to...
How about this? "Hey, you're engaged. Bye-bye."
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Do you text the bye or do you write bye?
Whatever you got to do, you just do it.
I just don't think she should bring in the engagement. Like, because I think that the.
I think you should just say, I think we're done.
No, yeah. Over text, over phone, in person.
Over text.
I want to go back to the question because I'm still very unclear on this. Kate, what do you want? Do you want him to leave his fiance?
Do you want him to propose to you?
I don't think that's what I want. I'm just.
So what do you want?
I guess I want to know why he, out of being friends with him for years, he wanted that then. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's just sucks. Like we built up a certain kind of respect with each other and a certain kind of, I mean, he sat with me when I've cried over guys that treated me the exact same way, you know, and told me that there's better people out there.
That's hard, man.
You know, within the same year, he does the exact same thing to me. And it kind of,
of course,
and
you feel used.
I feel betrayed.
Yeah, that sucks. Can you have like a meeting? Like, can you go for coffee and just get all this
You're
out?
Saying no, no meeting?
I don't think so. Well, here's that. That was the train of thought.
Make her feel better to get it all out and be like, "Hey, you were the guy that I came."
Personally, Caitlin, I hear what you're saying. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off.
No, I don't know that it's the right thing or not. I'm just wondering. Like, that sucks.
I think that any. Like, there is not going to be the kind of closure that you want on this.
No.
And we talk a lot about the idea of closure, and it will never, ever happen. It won't ever, ever happen. You will be taking this with you for a lifetime, and that sucks, but it's a good journey because we all need to go through it to be better people so we can be empathetic. Come be an actor in Hollywood. But anyway, but I think that looking for closure from him will be a fruitless journey and only lead to. So when if he says, "Well, let's talk about it, let's meet up," I think that's super dangerous. I think you can say, if there's something very specific you have to say to me, you can say it over text. Other than that, because I don't even know if you should say that. Only maybe if he presses and presses and presses. And maybe what he's going to want to text you is, please don't ever fucking tell anybody. And then you can sort of digest that.
Do you know the fiance? Yeah. Do you know the woman who he?
Oh yeah. She's in our group. Yeah.
Oh God.
So what about the group though? What does she tell the group when she's not seeing this guy anymore?
Well, she doesn't have to necessarily. She can wean her. What I'm saying is no private texting, no private phone calls. She can still go meet up with the friends at the bar, and just pray that the secret fucking remains a secret. Like, I don't want her to, like, if she makes it weird within the friendship dynamic, then the secret's gonna get out. I believe the secret probably will get out. It's just a matter of time. Hopefully it's in a few years. I think that any private conversation, like, she just has to nix all of that, and there won't be any dream conversation where he says, man, I wish it was you, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm doing with this, with my girl. That's not going to happen unless he's wasted and trying to fuck you. And
yeah,
it's all going to lead to the same road of ache.
Scott's right, though. Like, what do you want? Do you want him to, leave her and come to you? Do you want to be the one?
No, I think it's just like what I said earlier. Because he said things to me before, like, even when we were kind of ending things. Like, and maybe under different circumstances, or, we should have tried this a long time ago. And so it's like those kind of things kind of just validated that there is a little bit more mutually. So it was just kind of like, well, then if you're planning on proposing to your girlfriend, then why are you sacrificing our relationship just to, get it in one last time?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm like,
so much of what I'm hearing here is that you have put yourself at the mercy of his actions and choices. It's all dependent on what he says or what he does. But the fundamental problem there is that you don't have control over what he says or does.
Yeah.
So what do you want?
You got to get your power back.
Yeah. And then if you want him to leave her, you say that. And if he does the fumble, then you're like, fuck it, I'm out. And that's going to be really hard and shitty, but in the long run,
then you're in the power position, right? So you're the one who's like, that's over.
So you think that she should come out and say,
like, I think she should get her power back in whatever.
I do. I agree.
Because
she's feeling
powerless. Right. The only thing that's going to make you feel better in this position is to get your power back. I think you have to, whatever text you get next, you need to be like, go talk to your fucking fiance about it. And that's it. Like, get your power back. That's it. Okay. All done.
But I wouldn't say that, because here's the thing, is that the fiance could look at the phone. I think. And then
it's on them, right?
Yeah, but then she loses her friends.
We're not super close, she and I, but
still.
I think that the best advice is just seriously, just tell them no more private messages and sweep everything under the rug. And like Anna said, just pray that it never comes up.
Move on. Yeah. And I think it's kind of because it's bad for both of us for it to get out. So my lips are sealed as long as his are.
And his might, I mean, in my, weirdly, my experience, sometimes in against all like logic, a guy will chat. But listen, I do think that I understand, though, the feeling of you losing a friend, losing like somebody that you may have had a crushing on, and the heartache of that, and feeling used. Those are all really, really hurtful things. And I'm sorry that like you're put in this position, and I encourage you to cut things off with him and date other people and go find a good man.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's what I'm looking for.
This picture, Kate, I mean, you're around the corner from spring. You're going to have cherry blossom trees blooming. Okay. You can walk along the Potomac. You're on the East Coast.
Now it's cold and we're looming.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you are on the doorstep of people shedding layers. All of a sudden, you know, you're starting to see arms on guys. It's easier to like guys. Women start wearing skirts, but you're going to start seeing arms. It's the spring. It's rebirth. I mean, the Obamas are about to become citizens. They'll be far more approachable. I mean, all of these things are in your favor. You know, it's just this initial hurdle you're going to have to jump over. And if you catch your foot and fall on your face, you just get up and take the next hurdle as it comes. But you got to get to the next hurdle. And the first one is,
this guy sucks. Let him go.
Yeah. Hey, Kate, thank you so much for hanging out with us, Kate.
Yeah. I mean,
and seriously, and thank you for sharing your story with us.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm really sorry.
Yeah, you guys are really helpful.
I'm sorry you're going through this shitty
it's tough.
Time.
Oh, it's the worst.
It's okay.
I'm so sorry.
I know. Oh,
I'll get over it.
Keep in touch with me and let me know how it went down.
Please do. I know it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be like an exercise in horrible, horrible patience. Patience or willpower or whatever to not text him back when he texts you. Like, but why? What do you mean? But I miss you. What's happening? What's up, lady? You know, like, you're going to get that shit for a while. And you know, I think it's going to be you exercising a lot of willpower. Okay.
Oh,
sorry.
No, sorry. Nothing.
Okay.
Sim is like,
no.
Anna, please exercise your willpower.
It wasn't you. It was something else. It was something else, Anna. You can keep talking.
No, but Kate, I really...
Good luck. I'm so sorry. It's the worst feeling in the world, but you'll get past it. You'll move on to someone else, and you'll look back and be like, thank God that didn't work out.
Because I'm telling you, this dude will cheat for the rest of his life.
Thank you, Kate.
Thanks.
All right, thank you so much.
Horsey's mouth. Do you guys think that once a cheater, always a cheater? Are you guys subscribe to that?
We never got her age. How old is she?
Oh, she. I told. Yeah, 31.
31. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, she's down the path there.
Yeah.
That's not 21 and impulsive.
I know.
Not that dismiss a younger person. But
do you think like if a guy? I don't know. I just am curious. Do you guys or I truly don't know.
I don't know,
but I think that with this guy, three times.
This guy sounds like a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
And then an engagement, a month later.
Yeah, this isn't a singular moment.
Right.
It's a pattern of behavior. And then,
continuing to text her after the engagement, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's no good.
No
good. Loyalty is not with him. Okay, we have one more call.
One more call, and we're going to call Lindsay, and she's in Denver. She's 25 years old.
Oh, okay.
Did you say okay after you saw what it's about?
Okay. Yeah. But that was a good call.
Hello.
Hey, Lindsay. It's Sim. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Anna is here. Anna, say hi to Lindsay.
Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
Thank you for calling, we're calling you, but thank you for accepting our call.
Absolutely.
Anna's going to introduce our guests to both of our guests.
You're here tonight with Caitlin Olson and Scott MacArthur, and they are from the amazing show, this new show called The Mick, which is on Fox. What night is it on?
Tonight.
Good, Lindsay.
Let's not forget about Caitlin also. She is on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and it's 12th season.
12th season. Holy
That's amazing.
Shit.
Yeah, you may have heard of it, Lindsay. It's no big deal.
We watched it last night.
She's awesome. Scott's awesome. We're having a great time, and we're excited to talk to you. And I don't know what your issue is, but I'm excited to hear it.
Well, I'm excited you're excited.
This is going to be, you know what? We've never had a call like this. Lindsay, you want to know if you and your boyfriend are crossing the lines of comfort. Tell us what you mean by that.
Yes. So specifically, I mean, I'm wondering if I talk to my boyfriend too much about poop, farts, buttholes, all that kind of stuff, to be honest with you. And it's funny because it's not something that I ever really questioned as being an issue until recently when I live in Denver and I had a couple of friends come into town to visit and they kind of saw us interacting and we've only lived together for a year now. And they were like, you know, shouldn't you leave some things a mystery? And, you know, like you've kind of got your whole life for that. And yeah, you know, you're young and you're tight now, but like what the hell's going to happen when he knows everything and all that? So it kind of got me thinking, am I walking around acting like a freaking ogre or something? You know, like, am I totally oblivious to how my behavior is? So I was curious.
I feel like if you guys are giggling at it, then what the hell? Who cares? I mean, but I kind of want an example, though.
I sort of want
an example. Do you guys, like, talk about, like, the shape of and form of, like, your poop? Or like, do you say, babe, I just took a huge shit? Like how does it manifest itself?
Kind of, which, like, so, for example, when you say it like that, I'm like, oh, God, that sounds kind of bad. But, yeah, I do. Like,
that's
example,
what I do, Lindsay.
Can we hear Lindsay say it how she would say
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Lindsay, tell us what you would say to your boyfriend on a given night.
Okay, so I'll give you an example. A couple weeks ago, I had Burger King for the first time in a couple of years.
That'll create some good
man.
Stories.
Yeah, the warm burning sensation comes over me and we were driving stuck in traffic and I'm like, I'm going to shit my pants and it's going to be nasty and not a good one and like probably got a little descriptive and he laughs like he thinks it's funny, but I've never questioned it, but I definitely have friends that are like, you need to chill type of thing.
Well, wait, do you guys have a good sex life?
Yeah, definitely. Just had sex before, couple hours ago.
Oh, good. See,
just got to make it funny. Otherwise, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a lady. My mom would be we could never even use the word fart in our house. Like, that was forbidden.
Right.
So I like grew up in that environment and now like I'm with somebody who is very open about his bodily functions and he sends pictures of his poop. He's talked about this to his buddies. Like thank God he doesn't send them to me, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like as long as you guys are having a good time, then who cares what your friends say? I don't know.
It's funny that you say that, though, because that's the thing with him is that he comes from like a very conservative family. Like they don't, I mean, extremely conservative. They don't talk about farts. They don't talk about poop. They don't curse. I'm totally polar opposite of my family and how I grew up. And I've asked him before, I'm like, have you been this way in relationships before? Is this too much? And he's definitely never, I feel like I'm overexposing. Like he's not used to this is what I'm trying to say.
Do you guys do
that? So that's the other thing. Like I've never heard him fart.
Oh, okay. So he's not quite as open about his poop talk as you are.
He talks about his poop, but I mean, I've never heard him fart, and I definitely think I'm more of the open person.
Wait, he doesn't fart in front of you, but you fart in front of him?
No, I did on accident in my sleep, but definitely I haven't farted in person.
Oh, that's just adorable, though.
Yeah, that's called cute.
I hope so, because I was pretty embarrassed.
I have a definitive take on this.
All right, Scotty.
Yeah.
And I will openly admit that I do not at all times practice what I preach. But I'm 12 years into my relationship with my wife.
Okay.
We have two children.
Okay.
You know, if and when you cross that bridge, it's game on. You're going to show a lot. He's going to see a lot if he wants to sit on the other side of the 50-yard line, which I highly recommend doing because it is a miracle and it's amazing to watch. But I would say this. I go back to Sarah McLachlan. You want to build that mystery. And
right.
I think this is a topic of conversation from time to time in my own marriage. I so greatly respect and adore my wife's discipline to not fart in front of me or discuss her poops or her pees. And I try to practice it, but here's the thing. I lean into the cliche that it's funny for a guy to fart in front of a girl, but not necessarily for the girl to fart in front of the boy. But I will say this. I don't think it's sexy. And
right.
I think, like, if your guy comes out of the bathroom after taking a huge poop, are you ready to jump in the sack?
No, that's a good point. I'm not particularly
it's not
turned
really,
on by that.
Yeah, I mean, some people are, and they're
Lindsay,
poopy stuff.
Yeah, no, Lindsay. I don't have like a poop fetish for sure.
Lindsay, listen to me, okay? This is Caitlin. Okay, now don't listen to these people, okay? You with me? It's a delicate dance, right? So you don't fucking fart in front of him. You don't poop in front of him. You go to the bathroom. You shut the fucking door. You light a match when you're done. You come out. He comes in. You go, oh, my God, there was a fire next door. Thank God I was there. I was able to help put it out. He plays along. He was like, thank God you were there. I'm like, no shit. Thank God I was there. Because otherwise the neighbor's house would have burned down. The window was open. It was a mess, right? And you blame it on the match and the fire, and that's it. You joke about it, and you move on, and that's it. That's it.
Right.
That's it. End of story.
Yeah. I kind of agree with that.
Okay.
You don't poop in front of him. You don't fart in front of him. But, like, you walk in and there's, like, a match that you're like...
With the door open.
No.
Definitely.
Now shut the fucking door, okay? My husband will walk into the bathroom and be like, whoa, was there a fire next door? I'm like, yes. And thank God I was here to put it out. I called the fucking fire department. We are good. Everything's good. We are so lucky that our house didn't burn down. I was here. Thank God I was home. Like, that's it. You talk about the match smell, not the fu- That's it. Done.
Okay.
Make a joke.
I think split the difference here.
I'm right.
I think that on occasion, it's like, I think it's okay to be like, oh, I may have... There may be an unpleasant smell.
Sure, if you fart in front of him, then you just own it and be like, I had a protein shake. Right?
Right.
But I don't know. Chris gives me a hard time if I like, because I'm still pretty modest too about that stuff. Like, I'm really raunchy about other shit.
I know, but that's personal. But, like
he'll give me a hard time and be like, oh, so you're taking a magazine into the bathroom?
Maybe I need to learn about Us Weekly.
Yes. It's the New Yorker, Caitlin.
Right, that's what I meant.
Long article.
You're classier than that. I'm very sorry.
I remember reading, somebody tweeted a couple years ago, do we count it as camping if you take a shit without your phone? Which I thought was pretty amazing.
But no, I don't know. I think it should be overthought. But I think, I think you gauge his comfortability and you guys can laugh about it, but I do hear what Scott's saying, though, a little bit about...
Well, what I'm really reading into, though, in this specific instance is, Lindsay, you, correct me if I'm wrong, we're saying that he doesn't really celebrate his farts or defecation in front of you, but maybe you're a little bit more comfortable doing it in front of him, and I would say that that's arguably him kind of sending
backwards.
A nonverbal message, like, hey, I'm not doing it, maybe you should...
Please don't
hold
do
it in.
Make a joke about a fire department, you know?
Do you really like him?
Yeah, that makes sense. Definitely makes sense.
Are you in love with your boyfriend?
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Are you in love with your boyfriend?
That's a good question. Are you guys going to get married?
I mean, I'm definitely very in love with him. And it's not, and it's funny because people have said, is it a passion thing? I don't feel a lack of passion at all. And I definitely wouldn't poop with the door open or like deliberately fart on him or anything.
Together.
It's just I'm not like ashamed of the conversation, if that makes sense, around it.
I like you guys together. I think it's adorable. I think, Lindsay, you go with your gut, literally.
This is going to be really controversial, by the way. I have a feeling that this is going to be the most controversial call we've had in a while.
Really?
Because there are two different... I mean, Scotty, I'm with you on that, because I'm convinced that my beautiful girlfriend has never pooped or farted in her life.
Well, first of all...
She told me that, too. She never has.
Together?
And I believe her.
Do you live together?
Yeah, we live together. And she's great about it. I've never seen her close the door for a few minutes.
No one has ever seen me go into a room and take a shit. Ever.
How do you
ever
it? How is that possible?
I am like stealth fucking bomber.
So is my girlfriend. Can you explain that to me? What do you like?
I pretend there's a wildfire. I just explained it to you. I'm putting out a wildfire, and the whole neighborhood is grateful to me for putting out a fire that it seemed to exist in my bathroom. And that's what we talk about, and that's it.
2 years ago,
that
girls poop. I didn't know that for a while.
I didn't know that.
It just shocked me.
Yeah.
It's just something that shocks
me. But you don't understand. I'm not saying like, because personally, I don't find poop jokes or fart jokes particularly funny. So I'm not saying like make a ton of them. I'm saying if they make each other giggle sometimes, that's fine. I do my, you know, personal thing is like Jack and Chris, my husband and son, totally giggle whenever one of them farts. And it, yeah, like,
well, farts are funny. They're always funny.
I no, they're not.
Right. That's a confusing message, Sim. That's it. I think you have to monitor the giggle index on
like,
this.
Like I'm amused. I'm amused and like disappointed and mystified that they think that it's amusing.
No, it's a dude thing. It's like, very funny to them.
Like it's a whole. I have a very complicated swirl of emotions when they are giggling at each other's farts, and I can't help but laugh because they're laughing because I.
It's adorable.
But no, but for me, it's out of snobbery. Like, you two idiots.
Yeah. That's why it's adorable. Because I think you're adorable. And they're stupid. Your husband, my husband, our children. Yeah. I think
I'm going to go take the New Yorker into the bathroom. Yes.
Something we have to also keep in mind is that Lindsay's in Colorado. And this is you're dealing with an altitude quotient.
Oh, I was going to say, the elevation.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of gas, Lindsay.
Yeah.
This is not your fault.
So you have a 5,000-foot excuse right off the bat.
Listen, right. She doesn't eat Burger King every day. She only eats it every 2 years. I think, Lindsay, we've got to let her off the hook here. Like, this is... Listen, I love Burger King. Like, eat it every day if you want to, dear listeners. I don't give a fuck. But listen to our podcast. But, Lindsay, no, I think you gauge it with him. And maybe just ask him. Like, you know, babe, I know, like, I grew up in the... Maybe, you know, I grew up in a family that was pretty comfortable talking about all this literally shit. Does that make you feel weird? And he'll tell, you know, if you guys have a great relationship, he'll tell you, you know, and,
hey honey, does it bother you when I,
that was funny, Scotty. That was funny. Okay. Your fart joke made me laugh. See,
farts are funny, guys.
Yeah. I can do the fart sound out of the right side of my mouth. I can't do it out of the left side. And go,
all right, so Lindsay, do you think you're good with his advice?
Yeah, we gave you a ton of. Like,
yeah, definitely. I definitely appreciate it, and it's something to think about.
Make it funny. That's it.
All right. Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you, guys.
And
I
get married.
Thank you so much.
I can tell by your voice that you're happy, and it sounds like you have a good guy. And I
just have
really
a
nice
question, and Lindsay, you don't have to answer it, but I'm sensing it and maybe even smelling it. Did you fart at any point during this conversation?
No.
Oh.
Believe it or not.
So you're a liar as well.
She's stealthy.
Thank you so much, Lindsay, for hanging out.
Thank you,
Thanks,
Lindsay.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Good night. We love you.
Night. Love you.
Oh, I always cut.
You
do. I always
cut
do that.
Off too fast.
I always do that.
You always do that.
I'm sorry, Lindsay. All right. Well, do you want to?
Finger swirl.
Finger swirl. Does that mean take a shit and flush it, or what is that?
Swirl it right down the toilet.
That's believe it or not, that means wrap it up.
No.
Yeah, no, I know. It's very complicated. We use a complicated form of sign language around here.
Yeah, totally.
So convoluted.
Caitlin and Scott, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
I love the mic. Fun. Dear listeners, please check it out. It's really, really, really
And please
funny.
Check out the first episode of the new season of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
It's amazing.
Because it's amazing. It's
Thank
amazing.
You.
Will you tell us what it's about before we go?
Are you talking about episode one?
Episode one.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a social commentary on whether it is difficult to be black in America. And it's also a musical.
It's worth watching, everyone.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Thank you. I love it.
That's so awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you guys again. Oh my gosh.
Thanks for having us. It was really fun.
It's weird, right? It's a weird one. We do a weird podcast.
No, it's a great one.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. Oh.
Scott's, yeah.
Scott's not sure, but I'm sure. I had a lot of fun.
No,
thank
this
you for
was amazing.
Us.
I was trying to think of a way to fit in.
He's overthinking it.
Labia and retractable penis. Bringing on back to the labia.
Snail labia.
A labia later.
Labia later. Oh, or no shit, Sherlock, because that's always
been. Yeah, that's a good tag. That's a better tag.
Remember that?
Hashtag no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, well, let's all say good night. Wait, let's do two things.
Okay.
a nice fuck you, Sim.
Okay.
Sim,
okay.
Will you join in on the fuck you, Sim?
Why would I join in?
I don't
that
know.
Makes no sense.
But I would like
to
it.
Be part of the camaraderie.
I'm yeah. never. I'm
can
never
you,
gonna
hey,
say.
Hey, hey, hey! Can you do
come
it for
on.
Me?
Why would I?
Hey, hey, hey!
Yeah.
Can you do it for me?
Fuck you, Caitlin.
I like that.
Okay.
Good fire.
Okay.
Good fire.
We'll do a group fuck you, Sim, okay. and then a whole group. No shit, Sherlock.
Okay.
How does
got
that sound?
It. Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
One, two, three.
Fuck you, Sim.
Great. And then the whole group here, everyone?
Everybody.
Okay. Come on.
One, two, three.
No shit, Sherlock.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Wait, aren't you supposed to say the follow
us? Oh, yeah, follow us on all of Twitter and Unqualified and Instagram and Facebook.
Cassie Daniels, thank you so much.
Thank you, Cassie. Thank you, Nina. Thank you, Tyler. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Brady.
We love you.
Thanks, Miriam. Bye.
We love you so much. The end.